So no button banter? Usually there's a bevy of button banter.
I have a halo. Can you not see my halo, Crash?
The bountiful button banter.
I'm petting a cat. It distracted me.
You're bemused.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair, yeah.
Well, I was expecting to be bombarded by bountiful button banter, but instead, I have alliteration. So, all is well with the world. Mm-hmm. Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics Season 4. This is episode 36, and it's recorded 2 months after the last time we recorded.
Yep. Life happens.
Life finds a way to interrupt your schedule of very important tabletop role-playing games. With me, as usual, are a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. And I said that while looking through the wrong lenses of my bifocals at Discord chat to see who I was saying. Which is for the best, because Jen's name is not Jen's name. So either way, either lens I look through is still not showing me Jen. That's fine.
Yeah.
We're all fine here. Fine. How are you? Now, it has been a while since our last session. It has been quite some time since our last session. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised if absolutely no one here remembered what the heck we did.
We rescued a crystal.
I would not be surprised if more than one of you remembered what the heck we did.
What the heck did we do?
We rescued a crystal.
You did rescue a crystal. That session was called Crystalline Screams, by the way.
Oh, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I kind of remember that now.
And a good time was had by pretty much nobody.
There was so much screaming. It's a problem.
Sounded like... it's the Gandalf GIF. I have no memory of this place. So you found the original cohort where cobots were being created and sent out elsewhere. It was so original that it didn't have cobot artificers. It didn't have cobot admin. Those roles were taken by other machines or actual kobolds as opposed to cobots. It did have a small army of harvesters that were controlled via terminal. It was, in fact, Cobot Rimworld. And the session ended with Bipaki telling the Cobots to dig a tunnel straight up so that there'd be a way of getting the crystal out of what was essentially an eons-long torture chamber, where it was constantly being shaved down as it grew to keep it in a reasonable size frame, while the whole installation filled with more and more crystal shards, and fewer harvesters were able to maintain the place because things break down over time and they were dismantling other things for parts.
Yeah.
Yes. Since then, as has tended to be the case since the reinforcements arrived from the Circle of Tales, the crystal and Cohort Zero were taken off your hands. Top kobolds are looking into it.
That's fine with Sori, just so long as they aren't continuing to make the crystal scream, because that sounded bad.
I mean, the top kobold might in fact be Chroma, so might be fine.
Seems plausible. I promise that I will get to the bottom of this mystery and also every other random mystery people are handing me. It is a target-rich environment.
Chroma's quest log has been full for some time now.
Target-rich environment.
Someone brings the giant crystal into Chroma's lab and there's a sound that you hear from the quest not being able to be accepted.
The quest giver is just going to sit here for a while.
Chroma's lab has become a quest hub just for Chroma.
Convenient.
Not convenient. By the time Chroma finishes the dailies, it's time to go to bed.
But at least it's all right there.
This is why Chroma invented Chroma's brand coffee, or whatever it was called. The coffee that's essentially a haste potion.
The coffee is a haste potion. It's magic coffee.
Also why Chroma has a significant number of assistants to help with getting things done. So it might not be Chroma dealing with the crystal directly, but somebody under Chroma's watchful eye and or training.
Good.
Because otherwise things would just not be getting done. Chroma's been put in charge of the technology for the entire moon. And also, if you could look at these things from Circulus, that'd be good too. And also, we've got a whole bunch of angel ships that are coming in for retrofitting. And hey, did you hear about the Forge World? There's a Forge World now.
There's and only one of me.
Not with that attitude.
I can't cast Clone. That's not an artificer's spell.
Also, Clone ends up having the copy and the original feel like they're mortal enemies of each other.
Well, that's
if they're wait, both active at the same
wrong
time.
Spell. I meant a different one.
Simulacrum.
Simulacrum.
Yes. Yeah. There's always mirror image, but that is not helpful at all in this case. Unless you want to confuse the people coming over to ask you for help. They'll never know which Chroma is the real one. I keep trying to click on them to give them the quest, and it's just air there. What's... Anyway. So, you are once again left without an ongoing thing to do, because every time you find something neat and nifty and cool, they say, oh, that's wonderful, and they give it to somebody else. But finally, the Circle of Tales comes to you with something for you to do, because they are...
The Pocky was kidnapping us.
Shh! We're getting to that.
Oh, got it.
Yes. Because it has been decided that emissaries are going to be sent to the various peoples, and they're using the term very broadly here because they are including dragons and deities and cobots and anything sentient, pretty much, of this world to...
If it's sapient, it's a people.
Yes. That is the opinion of the Circle of Tales.
Right.
And there are others who have different opinions, which is proof that someone can have a wrong opinion.
Uh-huh.
So far as the Circle of Tales is concerned. The idea is that for the time period that the Circle of Tales has a presence on this world, they'd like to do so in a peaceful manner that doesn't have any civilization trying to vivisect or murderize or flambe or smash with a giant glacier golem or whatever it was. And the Circle of Tales is not planning on, you know, moving in, because have you seen the neighborhood? But they do intend to learn what they can. And among other things, maybe kind of sort of try building a forge world that shows that there have been learning experiences since this one was built, including maybe not enslaving a living crystal in order to slice pieces of it to make a robot army, including a few other engineering issues as well. Because while having a forge world that is essentially a Dyson sphere that recycles materials through volcanoes to refine metals and other materials, sounds really cool on paper, it is incredibly inefficient. And they'd like the cobots to help out with that. So they kind of need to contact all the cobot cohorts. This is going to be a major endeavor. But fortunately, there is someone named Dezos Stonetail who recently was given an official title by the Circle of Tales that the DM has totally forgotten what it is. But Dezos has been given it because it was requested. Also, an official hat that looks very silly when worn, but it is an official hat. And therefore, it is official, as well as a hat.
It looking silly is how you know it's official.
Pretty much, yes. And Deza has been asked to be an ambassador to the Cobots to see if there are cohorts who would be willing to pursue this new adventure. And also, by the way, in their travels, have they found any shipwrecked kobolds? Because we kind of like to, you know, help them out. We're still looking for all of them. There has been no ability of contacting Molo and Ertos, by the way. They're still trying. Hmm. It is possible that they survived and are in a location that is heavily shielded from scrying.
Which there would be a reasonable... Hiding from a god, you'd want to do that, maybe.
Yes. It's also possible that a mountain fell on them. But attempts are made daily. Just like antiques. Wait. Mm-hmm. Ignore that last part. That was Mo who interjected that. He's not even here. What? They become antiques eventually. I just need to keep them in storage for a few centuries. It's fine. Mo is old enough that he's actually probably done that. But never mind about that. So, Dezal
might... At a certain age, it becomes an investment.
Yes. I have this idea of having the next campaign after one of these be a prequel.
Oh.
Including an earlier version of Mo.
Oh, my.
You talk like this.
No. Not a child version of Mo. An earlier version of Mo. Pre-Morley Mo.
Oh.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, I'm asserting that his voice drops linearly with age.
Why, yes.
When he was first born, it was inaudible.
When he was first born, his nickname was Helios. Okay, my element pun fell flat. I get it. It's fine.
I heard it.
Okay.
That was the joke. You weren't supposed to. It was inaudible. Never mind. Anyway. With those asides placed aside over there, where we'll talk about them later off camera, the rest of you, there is the idea of, okay, so we need more ambassadors. It should be, you know, ideally, it should be people who have dealt with individuals before. Now, you've been our kobolds on the ground quite literally for some time, and you've met a bunch of people, but you know what's really neat? You met at least one of the high priests of this world. And as soon as this is mentioned, Maury shrinks in to herself.
Sorry, face palms and reaches out blindly to pat Maury's hand.
One of you is the daughter of one of those high priests. Maury shrinks further. So wouldn't it be great?
The high priest did decide that dissecting ambassadors was a proper thing to do.
Yes, they did make that wrong decision. And now...
I hope he will be willing to reconsider it, but...
Oh, we're sure that the priests of High Temple will definitely reconsider their choices. For a variety of reasons. One, after they decided that vivisection was a possibility, you blew up High Temple. Well, part of it. An important part. But a small part. An important small part.
Attempting to dissect or vivisect ambassadors does start wars.
Yes. Yes, it frequently has in the past. And before, you were a small group of kobolds. There might be a pause before they say kobolds, considering the current company, but culturey kobolds is fine.
Sorry, pats her little plush tail that has the pockets.
You have been accepted into the various clans, and it's fine. You are members of the Circle of Tales. The Circle of Tales is offering membership to the Circle of Tales for the Kobots as equal members for those who are willing to join. So there's that as well. Before, you were just a small group of refugees. Now, there is an interplanetary nation behind you. And I'm here too. Yes, we were getting to that, Monty. What? I was getting impatient. Anyway, hi everyone. As a clan leader, I thought I'd come along and, you know, just be the strong silent type. Well, you all do the important stuff. Yeah, yes, Monty has graciously volunteered to go with you. We're all very excited for this opportunity. Granted, we are going to try to make sure that all the stepping on toes specifically, is intentional this time, at least on our end. Having you all be the ambassadors is the first round of stepping on toes, by the way. You are a calculated insult.
Excellent.
Yes, that part is intentional.
Maury.
No.
Pants Maury's hand again.
In this case, I understand. And, you know, if it wasn't my dad, I'd kind of agree. Actually, no, he is my dad and I still agree. Exactly. See, but also we need to make sure that all the stepping on toes is intentional. So we are going to need to require you to take a week of etiquette classes. We've set up a meeting time that will be in 1 week. At least one member of the high priests will be there for the meeting. Probably all of them, because they sort of all want to, you know, not have favorites played or whatever. We've been monitoring some of their conversations. Don't ask how. That's irrelevant to this conversation right now. So, yeah, we need you to take some mandatory workplace training. There'll be some videos to watch and some questionnaires to fill out afterwards. We'll be starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow. So everyone get some sleep, because you're going to need to know what to say and not to say.
What's an etiquette?
That's covered in the first three videos.
It's part of the class. They teach us what an etiquette is so we can do an etiquette.
Okay. Now, while we've been having this conversation, Bapaki has made a stealth skill check of 14. Bapaki, what are you doing?
Leaving.
The idea of Bapaki doing this was put forward, so I thought I'm going to lean in to make Bapaki feel incredibly justified, even more so than Bapaki already was. You are a value.
Bapaki is not interested in any of this, especially not etiquette classes for a week.
Yes, Bapaki is out the door and probably a significant distance towards the Shrike ship before the person giving all this information realizes that Bapaki isn't there anymore.
Etiquette in the week or etiquette for the week? Whatever.
Yes.
Bapaki's a pirate. Etiquette is for the week.
There are times and places for etiquette. I can be polite. I'm just...
Bapaki, give me a perception check. Okay. So when you make it all the way to the ship, Monty is there waiting for you. You did not see Monty leave. You did not see Monty pass you. Monty is also a rogue, but possibly a higher level one than you. Definitely a higher level one than you.
Yes.
Yeah. You go up the ramp to get on the Shrike ship. Monty's there and he says, yeah, you're not attending any of those trainings either, are you?
The words "I was gonna" are about to leave Bipaki's mouth when she hears the words "either." The word "either." That sounded really boring.
Yes, there have been times when I have manifested an unusually large amount of patience for a lot of things. But sitting in a week of training for someone to tell me what I should and should not say, I could probably handle it if it was run by my daughter or granddaughter. But the word "probably" is there for a reason. I'm not 100% sure. Eo is typing something that I feel like might be relevant. I want to see this. And if it's not relevant, I can always cut this out. Do not let Zeely try to teach people how to negotiate.
There might be fire involved.
Might be fire involved.
Zeely might prescribe to the Monty School of Negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Monty's just back there going, Zeely! That's my girl.
Yes. Hold on. I need to go look this up.
I mean, Sori, the only reason Sori is really keen on this is because Sori would actually like to know how to insult people advertently and not by accident. She's still kind of peeved about the whole vivisection threat.
Well, that is another reason why Monty's being sent with you. You may speak softly. Monty is the big stick. Mm-hmm. But don't carry me. I can walk. And occasionally fly.
Especially if you're jumping.
I jump really high.
Uh-huh. High-powered rogue. High-powered arcane trickster, right?
Yes. I don't even need to stealth to do a sneak attack. I have the unstealthiest sneak attack that still is incredibly effective. By the way, his stealth check was a 33. Actually, no, that was his perception check. That's how he noticed Bapaki left early. He left after Bapaki and then passed Bapaki. His stealth check was a 22. So it was possible Bapaki could have seen him, but Bapaki would not be able to hide from him.
Intimidation plus 17. Persuasion plus 11.
Yes. At a certain point, intimidation and persuasion, I mean, like, there are circles on the Venn diagram, and they start to overlap more and more depending on who is using the skills.
And this is why certain people are not helping try to teach etiquette classes.
Conversations and experiences with Zeely and Chroma have made Monty a better person by a lot of people's assessments of what makes a good person. But Monty will still always be Monty for a certain value of Monty. In part because, you know, if you want to cool boiling water down quickly by throwing ice into it, that might work. If you are throwing in water that is 99 degrees Celsius into boiling water, it theoretically will cool it down, but not as much. And Zeely is not the mitigating factor that you think Zeely might be for making Monty a better negotiator. Anyway, so here's my plan. I'm open to suggestions for this. It's what I thought of while I was passing you. If we take off now, they're just going to send everyone else and they'll probably screw it up. But the meeting's been scheduled for a week no matter what. So we wait for everyone else to get on the ship. Wait until they're asleep because some of them might actually have a foolish idea of, you know, participating in this. And then we take off. What do you think?
Okay. I can get behind that.
I'll provide something of a distraction while certain preparations are being made closer to takeoff time and catch up to you.
Okay.
All right. This is going to be fun.
I think so too.
All right. Smash cut to, it is early in the morning. Early enough that I would say the one of you who is awake is probably only awake because maybe you haven't yet gone to bed. This is normal for you. And there are some yells, a distant explosion, and a few warning sirens. And then Monty is standing behind Bapaki going, go, go, go!
Bapaki has the trike ship take off.
What kind of role have we been doing for managing the ship? I forget.
I don't remember.
I think Paki had a vehicle skill.
Yeah, I have water vehicle as a
That's what we've
proficient
been
tool.
And you have plus five. That's an intellect stat. Okay. Yeah, roll that.
Or I have acrobatics.
roll water vehicle. I think that is the most relevant one. Acrobatics might come in handy later. With a dirty 20. Yeah, you're out of there. And you see no sign of pursuit. Possibly you are in the cloud layer.
Are we on the inside or outside?
At this point,
the cloud layer?
There are clouds in the inner surface as well.
Oh.
So at this point, I think you might be, you can be wherever you want to be. Do you want to be on the inside or the outside?
Of the ship? Or is that
what of the planet?
About? Of the planet.
Of the planet?
Yeah.
Oh.
You can start off in one and say you're heading towards the other if you want.
But Paki's the one flying this thing.
I would say the outside.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, you head off into the clouds and you are pretty sure you are not being followed. And that's
not following us.
And that is when I would say, possibly because of the sudden movement of the ship, the rest of you start waking up.
My hammock is swinging back and forth.
Are we under attack? Do we need to?
I don't hear yelling.
I am going to prepare my spells.
Picture, if you will, as the ship slowly sways in the air currents, that smallest Kep, not having the same traction on polished floor planks that something heavier would have. As the ship leans in one direction, you see smallest Kep sliding in that direction past the camera. Then the ship leans in the other direction, and smallest Kep slides in the other direction.
Oh no.
The not actually a minotaur just turns their head to watch smallest Kep going in one way, then the other way. Then eventually puts out one skeletal hand and just stops smallest Kep. Like, doesn't put their hand on smallest Kep, but puts it down to create a wall for smallest Kep to collide with.
Sorry. We'll put on her tail and pat her off to see who's flying the ship.
Oh, morning.
Hi, Papaki. What's up? Besides us,
Well, I decided etiquette sounded really boring, so I'm going to do something else.
Oh, I thought etiquette was all about learning how to insult people so that they can't hit you back.
Well,
I already know how to do that.
Monty's here too.
Hello, Mr. Monty.
Hello. He's up in the crow's nest.
Oh my. How'd you get up there?
I climbed.
Oh.
I don't think the Shrike ship had a crow's nest, but it has one now for some reason. If sure. Only because Monty needed a place to hang out. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, I did say I wanted to put sails on it.
Oh, this is true. Then it would have a central mast that would allow for a crow's nest. Or a Monty nest.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Kobold nest.
No, Monty nest is fine. This is mine now.
I subscribe to the theory that if you want to start a fight with someone, you say, hey, do you want to fight with me? But other people can do what they find fun.
Okay. I'm sure we can figure it out anyway.
Where are we going?
I haven't decided yet. That way.
That way. Okay.
Sori yawns, her great big, her tiny little mouth opening in a great big, almost unhinging way, tongue curling, and goes off to figure out breakfast.
Mori comes up from below decks and goes, so I'm assuming that after the word etiquette was used in the same sentence as training and mandatory, that's why you hatched this plan to leave just before dawn?
Well, that was part of it.
Mm-hmm. But you are the one who agreed to take the ship.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really can't blame you.
It'll be fine, Mori. They'll give us the cliff notes.
No, I'm...
I don't need a class on etiquette. I have a spell for that.
Does it involve raising the negotiator on the other side as one of your undead army?
That is a thing that would only happen if negotiations had already broken down.
The fact that you didn't say no is very on brand for you, actually.
That is not what the spell I was referring to is for.
The GM is very amused by all of this conversation. Mori less so, but that's Mori.
Poor Mori. Look,
do you want to go and have formal dinners and write long legal documents and sit across the table from your father while you're sitting next to us?
You know, I think sitting next to all of you will make it better because it will make my father more annoyed and I can really behind that. But everything else about that scenario, no, I'm not really into that. And I'm not blaming you, any of you, for wanting to skip out on a week of mandatory etiquette training. I think that if the training could help, that might be a thing. But I've gotten to know all of you over, Papaki, a little less time, but still a considerable time for most of you. And also, I've met a great number of kobolds that aren't you. And one, I'm not sure that any of you would take the training at its face value. And two, I'm not sure that there are any kobolds on the planet who are currently qualified to give lessons in etiquette that would take and improve situations for anyone.
You're saying we should wing it in a week anyway and it'll be fine, right?
I'm not so sure about that last part of your sentence, but everything else, it's worked so far.
I think we could be polite if we're not being threatened. We try to be polite.
And if you are threatened, that's why I'm coming along.
And I will remember to extend my pinky when I'm lifting my tankard to throw it at somebody.
That's actually a very bad idea. It's harder to aim.
Yeah, I know. It makes your grip worse. But etiquette is lifting your pinky when you hold a drinking vessel.
Well, yes, but then you don't throw the tankard because you're lifting that and their eyes are on it. You use your other hand to throw the dagger.
I think Monty's a rogue.
And don't you know it.
No one told me before.
Monty's head is sort of like hanging over the edge of the crow's nest, and there is a very draconic grin on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Not every rogue advertises that they're a rogue, but I haven't really been keeping that a secret. You do know that the Circle of Tales is about, I'd say, 67% rogues by volume.
That's a lot of rogues.
We're a very dexterous species.
That would explain it.
Pack tactics combined with sneak attack. I mean, if you're going to min-max, it's the way to go. Oh, watch out for that fourth wall! You do, in fact, not have a fourth wall or any wall flying towards you, unless it is a wall of clouds, because that is flying towards you. I mean, you were in the clouds, but that is a darker wall of clouds that you have just flown into, actually.
Storms, let's get below. Quickly.
Yes, everyone give me an acrobatics roll.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness. Acrobatics roll. Okay.
Oh, it's at the top where it says A. Duh.
Yeah.
I'm not here right now.
Athletics would help.
Trying to figure out.
I would allow you to roll athletics. I said acrobatics because I assumed for most of you that would be better.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I'm not making sense.
There's no blocks. Okay. Which one are you?
Okay. Oh. For Utashi, athletics is a minus one. Acrobatics is a plus six. You want to click the acrobatics at the top of your list.
Okay. Acrobatics.
And it's going to ask you what kind of roll to make. It is a normal roll. Okay. 16. Okay.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to assume that most of, if not all of the undead menagerie is currently below decks. So I'm not too worried about them. They might get a little battered up, but that's nothing that Longcap can't fix over time.
Should I be using inspiration to re-roll that three?
That depends. How do you feel about terminal velocity?
I think that terminal velocity should be for other people. I'll re-roll.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Monty got a 12.
No, I just got a 5. Hello, terminal velocity.
Oh,
okay.
No.
So Longkep, Monty, and Sori all go overboard when a particularly strong gust of wind pushes the ship to a not quite 90 degree angle, but close to it. What happens next?
Sori shrieks.
Bapaki gets a 22 on vehicle handling.
Hold on, we're going down. Not going down, but going down.
I try to grab Sori's hand.
Longcap has cast fly.
Yep.
Okay. Longcap and Sori, I'm going to ask for acrobatics, specifically acrobatics checks from both of you.
No.
That is a nat 1 and an 11.
I can use my inspiration, but I don't think I can.
Already spent mine. Sori is flailing. You were holding her plush tail. It fell off. She didn't tie it tightly enough.
If one of you is able to succeed, I'm counting it. You are reaching towards each other.
Mm-hmm. That was worse.
How is the GM going to use up all this stored inspiration so people earn it again? Let's find out. All it took was a storm.
I guess you must have Sori's tail. Just a plush tail.
Longkep is flying down, holding a plush tail, while Sori is falling through the clouds. You don't even have the luxury of seeing how close the ground is. It's just clouds. At this point...
In that case...
Yes?
In that case, I am not using a fourth level spell slot because I couldn't touch Sori.
Don't make the plush tail fly, please.
No flying plush tail.
At this point, I'm going to say that the ship, pointing straight down, is starting to pass Longkep.
Longkep is also diving after Sori.
What's your flight speed?
60 feet.
Okay. The ship's speed is 70. So the ship will start to pass you if you don't join up with it.
But Paki is casting a line off to toward Longkep.
Monty went over.
I think technically I could dash to go twice as fast, but also if I'm dashing, I don't think I'm catching. So I will take the line.
All right.
And try to tie it around my waist.
Sori, you decelerate very rapidly. There is an arm that is going around your torso, and it slows you down, not so quickly that it counts as an impact, but quickly enough that, yeah, the air is forced from your lungs. And you are moved rapidly in a direction that is not down. I mean, possibly also down, but not exactly down. And find yourself instinctively, like, grabbing onto the railing of the shrike ship.
Sori basically goes,
boing. You are dangling. Well, dangling is the wrong word, because I would assume at this point, and you can correct me if you're wrong, with a no but, because yes, mm-hmm. and is important for improv, but no but is also important, which is why we only see these characters from the waist up. Thank you.
Tail.
You're all weak.
I have a plush tail.
No, you don't. Longkep is holding it.
That's true.
Yes. But you are latched on with arms and legs wrapped around this railing. But if
and
the
claws.
Ship, well, yes. If the ship was level, you would still be latched on because you're on the outside edge of the railing, not the inner edge. If you let go, you would fall. Also, the ship is sideways, so pointing straight down.
Not letting go. Not letting go.
Monty is right next to you, holding on to the railing, also on the outside of the ship, with one hand, with one foot braced against the part where the railing hits the deck. The draconic grin is still on his face, like, this is so fun. I haven't done this in years. And right then, the ship breaks through the clouds. Now, you were going through clouds, so I would say that you were all pretty saturated to begin with from water vapor, yes. But at this point, you are out of the clouds, but it almost feels like you're not because the rain is pelting. There's still a lot of wind, but visibility is slightly better?
This is fine.
Sori has no visibility. Her eyes are squeezed tightly shut, and she is just clinging to the rail.
Yeah, you know Monty's next to you because Monty is laughing.
Sori is glad someone is having fun.
Again! Do it again!
Let me just reel myself in, says Longkep, but probably to nobody because I doubt anyone can hear them over the rain.
Mm-hmm. But Paki, what are you doing at this point?
Looking for a break in the clouds.
You are under the clouds at this point.
Yes, I'm looking for a break in the clouds.
Ah. Give me a perception check.
Okay.
At advantage, because kobold, dark vision.
Well, between the 3 and the 4, I'm going to pick the 4.
Well, that makes it an 11. You don't see any break in the clouds. It is just clouds for as far as you can see.
All right. Everybody below decks, when you're back on, we're going up.
Okay. We're going up? So Tasha's going to go below deck and just kind of sit there and see what happens.
Probably because we got lucky this time.
Sori is making very high-pitched little noises that are not particularly coherent.
Sori, give me an athletics check. Yes, I said athletics. Okay.
15.
With a 15, you do not beat Monty's 27. He is able to pull you off of the railing and carry you towards the one of the doors to go below decks.
There's a non-zero chance that prying her off the railing means that she is now basically curled around one of Monty's arms as if it were still the railing.
He's going to start calling you Barnacle.
He can call Sori a Barnacle all he wants. He's not precisely wrong. She's a somewhat squeaky barnacle.
Longcap, you need a hand?
I am fine. I believe I have 2 hands and also 2 feet.
Okay.
I just need to arrange them such that I do not drop the rope and get floated away from. Perhaps a hand might be appreciated. Thank you.
I will help Longcap haul himself back onto the ship.
With Monty not needing to technically hold on to Sori, Monty also puts one hand on the rope and assists. Which is for me to say that Monty's not doing the majority of the work, but you don't need to roll because you're not going to fail.
Fair enough.
Yes. All right. The ship bursts through the clouds again, but this time the other side. Everything above decks is dripping. Everyone who was above decks is also dripping.
Apaki is used to this.
The not a minotaur is using a mop.
Okay.
Lefty, I am going to say, because of the 7 that was rolled while Lefty was below decks, is currently in pieces.
Poor Lefty.
I mean, Lefty can always be rebuilt. Technically, again, Lefty is recreated every day.
Why is it always you?
Lefty is the sinister one.
Also, Lefty is not recreated every day. Lefty has control reasserted over it every day. Otherwise, it would just go do whatever skeletal hands do when they're not being controlled.
It would go rogue. Skeletal hands doing sneak attack damage.
Oh, no.
That would be a problem.
Mm-hmm. When it gets to 3rd level, it takes Arcane Trickster so it can do a mage hand attack. That is a wonderful gif you found, Ellie. Yes, that's your view from the ship.
Oh, neat.
And we've been playing for just under an hour, so what do you say we take a short break?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, we are back, and there were absolutely no cat gifs posted to the Discord channel while we were gone. It's fine. Yes. Anyway, you are flying for a considerable amount of time before the unthinkable happens, which is Mori asks if she can be on solid ground for a bit because you've been flying for a considerable amount of time.
Happy to go down wherever. Let's see where we come out.
Okay.
If we are flying for a considerable amount of time, then I am going to take a short rest and get back the spell slot I used from flying.
I would say that you definitely have the ability to take a short rest. I wouldn't say a long rest, but a short rest is fine. Okay.
Yeah.
So
where do short rests come? Never mind. I'll do it myself.
For the old character sheet, you've got 2 separate buttons. For the new character sheet, it's the same button, but then it gives you a pop-up that lets you pick. So, as you break through the cloud cover this time, it is picturesque would be a nice word to use. You are, for the most part, over water. The Forge World doesn't technically have oceans the same way you would recognize them on Circulus or even Earth, but it does have large expanses of water between the continents. And you are in that space. But over there, you do see land, and it's a sheer drop-off. There is a cliff face that if someone had taken a god-sized knife and sliced through the continent, that's kind of what this cliff looks like. Right at the edge of it, there is a solitary tower that it doesn't end in a nice top to make it look like it's been maintained at any point in recent history. But yeah, that's a stone tower over there at the top of the cliff.
Ooh.
Well, I know what I'm heading for.
All right.
It's a landmark.
Now, here's the question. Do you pull up alongside the cliff? Do you pull up along the top of the tower? Do you land near the tower? What are you doing here specifically?
Landing near the tower, I think.
Okay. So you have landed near the tower, and Maury gets off immediately and doesn't do the whole get on her hands and knees and kiss the ground thing, but that might just be because she made a will save. Those don't exist in D&D, but I'm saying it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Maury needs so badly to make a will save that she briefly becomes a 3.5 character.
She needed to make a will save so badly she was willing to embrace GURPS.
Oh my.
But GURPS doesn't have saves.
It has will rolls.
Yeah. It has will rolls, yes. That's what I meant.
And fright checks.
Considering that the DM for this campaign has only passing knowledge of how to play GURPS correctly. Please excuse the wrong term. Also, please excuse that Mari now has explosives 20 for some strange reason.
Whoops.
Why do I have the sudden urge to make a 30-second bomb?
A what?
Never mind. Look, okay. Between the two GURPS characters I play, one of them is closer to Artificer than the other. And Maury is technically Artificer, even if Maury is multiclass. Okay, so Maury is laying down on her back on the ground, just looking up at the air and marveling at how she's not moving. What's everyone else doing?
Carefully climb down with her tail reattached. And just sit on the ground for a little while.
Itachi's going to go over to Maury and hand her a shiny. Here, this makes me feel better. Maybe it'll help you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And she goes scampering off somewhere to look around the tower, I guess, on the outside.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Monty seems to be asleep in the crow's nest right now.
Okay.
Because, of course, he is.
That or he's doing an excellent job of faking snoring. I am not going to click on a link where the URL includes the words in sequence cat fighting sounds.
It's a video you have to actually click it to start, but no, you should not click on it. It's for future reference.
For future reference that has nothing to do with the current plot of this session.
Right.
One hopes.
One hopes. Yeah.
All right.
Oh my.
So Bapaki is heading off towards the tower. Sori is sitting down. That's not Bapaki. Well, Itachi is heading off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm making sure the anchor is secured before I go anywhere.
Okay. I was looking at Bapaki's character art while I was trying to say what Itachi was doing, and that was the reason for my screw up. Mm-hmm. Because somebody drew a circle on the board, and Bapaki's inside the circle. It is green. Yes.
It is green. Mm-hmm.
Dun dun.
But is it really a green circle if the DM put it there intentionally?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, Itachi, you go up to the tower, and you can see that the top of it is somewhat irregular, but not 100% irregular. Like, there is a point where it looks like the top of it got sheared off, but it's not 100% clean cut. There are bricks that are missing that make it not be like somebody cut a cardboard tube in half.
Hmm.
There is a front door that appears to have long since been damaged to the point where it's more of a suggestion as opposed to being an impassable barrier.
Okay, I'm going to walk in.
Okay.
Door's open. Skips her way in there.
Okay. You see that the bottom of this tower is one big empty room. There is a stone staircase that spirals along the outer wall. The inner wall. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the inside, you see a staircase. It'd be kind of silly to put a staircase on the outside of a tower. Mm-hmm. Unless you were not putting it there for strategic reasons. The inside, there are various pipes and conduits and wires that are extending up from the floor towards the what's left of the ceiling above you and going through it. There is also, in the middle of the floor, a large thing. It's embedded in the floor, but not 100%. So it rises up from the surface of the floor. It's not completely flat. Give me an insight check.
Oh, boy. Okay. Insight check.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of who I'm asking to do this.
Yeah, I'm trying to make the interface work. It doesn't give me that one.
It's one of the ones you have checked, actually.
Okay, let me try again.
So if you...
Was it insight?
Right? Insight, yes.
Okay, so the box that pops up says strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, charisma. Any of those work?
It looks like you clicked on the box for ability modifier after clicking on insight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're not changing. You're clicking on the word insight and then clicking on the word normal.
Okay. It picked something else.
No, it picked the right thing. It did the right thing. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So as with a roll of 10, this thing on the floor kind of, sort of, and this is, I'm having it only be a 10 because of all of the strange buildings you have seen relatively recently. It kind of sort of looks like a door, like a trap door of some kind, but it doesn't look like one that you would be able to just like pull on a doorknob and open.
Wonder what's down there. Oh, well, I'm going to try to climb the stairs if they're still intact at all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The stairs are mostly intact to the point where I'm not going to require a roll to go up them, unlike a certain one shot that we recorded. But in that one shot, you had wings, so it didn't matter.
Right.
But you do start to feel more and more uneasy as you climb the stairs. Not a feeling of, oh, I'm going to fall, but a feeling of, things are not the way they should be. Something is wrong here. And when you go up high enough, you get to the second floor, and the second floor is in a dilapidated state. There doesn't appear to be really anything worth rummaging through up here. There's some detritus, there's some leaves. Nothing is shiny at all.
No,
the stairs continue up more, but the tower stops before it gets to what would have been a third floor. With that cutoff edge, and the closer and closer you get to the top of the stairs, like, I'm not going to say Utashi is acrophobic, because that's not something you've ever established about the character.
No, she just climbs things sometimes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were acrophobic, it would kind of feel like this, you think.
Okay. Maybe.
Where the closer you get to the top of the stairs, the more you feel like, this isn't right, I shouldn't be here, something is wrong.
Okay, I'm going to carefully go back down the stairs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Utashi was doing.
Yep.
So what has Longkep been doing?
If Utashi is headed towards the tower, then Longkep will, after a few moments, sigh and also head towards the tower.
Okay. I'm going to say that you arrive at the tower just in time to see Utashi coming down the stairs.
Hi.
Hello.
There's not a lot of stuff in here, but I climbed up the stairs and it just felt kind of creepy. So I'm coming back.
What sort of creepy?
I don't know. It just felt like don't go in there. Kind of creepy, I guess. And I shrug.
Good enough for me.
Okay. I keep coming down the stairs while I'm talking.
Oh, yeah. You reached the bottom of the stairs during this conversation.
Yeah.
Longkep will listen and not go in there and return to
Okay. Yep.
There's this thing that feels off. Okay, we all leave. This is fine.
The GM just sort of stands there.
Yeah.
For and on this day that is marked on all calendars on the planet, at a ragtag band of adventurers thrown together through happenstance managed to avoid the plot hook.
Oh.
So far.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, you have to realize that Itachi's not that smart, so, you know.
I didn't say that the thing you needed to investigate was up.
No, but that's what
or
she
down
got.
For that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Longcap does not wish to go into the bad place for no reason or without the rest of the party.
Yes, at this point you would be splitting the party if the two of you went anywhere or the one of you went anywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bapaki, you have finished doing everything that needs to be done to make sure your ship is ship shape to be shipped out.
Or to not ship out without us.
Yeah, it's if you want to stay here for a while, you are prepared for that. If you want to leave immediately, it would not take you long to prepare for that too. But anchor deployed, everything's taken care of.
Hey, there's a tower and Longcap and Itachi have already gone into it. I'm going to go, like, make sure they're okay.
Oh, we should. Maury, do you want to go see a tower?
Is the tower flying?
Sori considers no. very carefully whether the tower appears to be flying.
Is it moving in any way in relation to the planet?
Sori?
The cliff, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
I am all for it.
Sori will hold Maury's hand.
To anyone looking at this, it would appear to be an adult holding the hand of a small child to comfort them and make sure they don't wander off. Or whatever. The relationship goes in the other direction, but whatever. Okay. So, Sori is also heading towards the tower. Maury is coming along. Monty is currently still snoring. Okay. Look, he had a lot of excitement. It's time for his midday nap.
Beauty rest. Yes.
Yeah.
It's beauty rest.
I don't need beauty rest. You can't improve these looks. I'm already perfection.
That's how you maintain it.
Lesser beings need to maintain.
Hmm.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's lesser image. Maybe it's polymorph.
Polymorph.
In my headcanon, which I'm the DM, therefore my headcanon is actual canon, when it comes to the NPCs, Monty's kobold features very closely resemble Monty's true draconic features.
That's like because he's not subtle.
This is true. This is very true. But also, you would have to be a considerable distance from dragon form Monty to be able to see all of his face and then compare it to kobold Monty and look from one to the other. To go, oh,
but also
yeah.
He's not subtle.
Yes, but also he's not subtle.
Yep.
Anyway, so yes, you, Itachi and Longcap, you see everyone else walking, well, except for Monty, walking into the tower or walking over to the tower at least.
Hi, we found a tower.
Most of it, anyway.
Uh huh.
It is apparently creepy.
Monsters or. Undead or desecrated corpses?
I don't know. I haven't seen any of those, but you go up the stairs farther and it gets real icky.
Really?
Itachi explained this to me and I decided that it was best to come back and not investigate these questions alone.
Oh, Bapaki is already halfway up the stairs.
Okay.
Bapaki, you are feeling the exact same thing that Itachi felt, where this is not making you make a roll to resist anything, but the further up the stairs you go, the more wrong it feels.
I think there's something cool up here.
That is a new reaction. I will follow.
Longcap, you feel the exact same thing. The only difference is how people react to the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I I do not believe I have ever felt this sensation before.
I wonder what it is.
That's right. You're lizard folk, and lizard folk do not
have strong emotions generally.
It's not an emotion. It's a sensation.
Yes, but one that provokes a very strong response.
It provokes a response, yes.
For no particularly clear reason.
Zori is just about on the, just at the bottom of the stairs going, do you think it's a spell to keep from going up and finding out that there's an invisible tower up there or something?
Do the stairs keep going after you get to the top and there's no more stairs? Maury is shouting this up from the bottom. Maury has not gone up the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Sori is feeling kind of scared of heights right now and also has not gone up the stairs yet.
Longkep has made an arcana check of 8.
Unfortunately, Longkep rolled a nat 1. I assume that Longkep has no idea what spell might be doing this and is now taking notes with a faintly disturbed tail swishing.
I would also allow rolls of perception or insight, which would not reveal the same information, but would reveal some information. Bapaki got a 17 for perception.
Should people at the base of the stairs also be rolling?
There's things to find up and down. Or at least things to notice. That is a nat 1 for perception.
You're busy staring up and watching Longkep. Unless you're going to let me do an insight as well.
Yes, you can also do an insight. But Pakia, were you up the stairs or not?
Oh.
I've lost track of where everyone is.
I think Bapaki was first up the stairs.
Oh, this is true. Bapaki, when you're at the top of the stairs, what you are able to perceive is, one, yes, that top stair is in fact the top stair. You go and put your foot past that and move it down, you hit air. So you are able to dangle your little feetsies off the side if you really want to.
Okay.
That's adorable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's what Bapaki does, but if Bapaki chose to do that, Bapaki could canonically do that. Also, you would think that a tower that's had the top fallen off would have stones around it from the top part of the tower. People nearby might come and take stones to use in other things. That has historically happened for a lot of things made out of stonework. But one, there's no one near here that you can see. There's no settlements near here that you can see. And two, there are no stones at the ground at all. The tower is at the edge of the cliff, but not so close to the edge of the cliff that there wouldn't be at least some stones that fell down next to it. But you don't see evidence that the top of the tower fell off. It's just not there.
Oh.
Utashi.
Uh-huh.
At the base of the tower, on the ground floor, what you're able to tell is everything here is very old. But that trap door, that oddly shaped trap door on the floor, is definitely aftermarket. It is considerably newer than anything else that is anywhere near this tower. It's still worn and weathered and beat up a bit, but it hasn't aged the same way the rest of the tower has. Okay, that's not entirely true. All those wires and conduits and stuff that are going up from the floor along the walls, those look like those are aftermarket as well.
Hmm. How big is this door compared to Itachi?
You could, well, assuming that the part you think opened all the way, Maury would be able to go through it easily.
Okay. So I'm going to, I don't think she's particularly strong. So she's probably going to like stand on the door and try to pull whatever. There's probably something you can pull on, maybe. She's looking for that right now.
So this is not how the door is designed, but my immediate thought process was Utashi standing on top of a trapdoor, trying to pull it open while being the reason the trapdoor is held shut because you're standing on the trapdoor.
Yes. She's not very smart.
But she's very wise.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom is problem solving. Intelligence is memory. Okay. Yes. So you actually would be able to solve problems in regards to this. However, this is, I'm going to give this to you because of your perception check being a 21.
Okay.
Which is to say you rolled a nat 20 and your perception was plus one.
Okay.
If it was a dirty 20, I would not be so inclined, but you did roll a nat 20. The door appears to be, there's something mechanical about it that opens and closes it. You think you can see some of what's necessary to move, but it's not as simple as, oh, there's a doorknob here that you turn, or this is where you put in the key. There's different parts that need to be moved, and you suspect they need to be moved in a certain way, but not too much. It's like a very fancy combination lock.
Okay. Look, I found a puzzle.
Oh? Mm-hmm. Okay. How do we put it together?
I don't know. There's like stuff all over here that does something. And
you are able to point out the different parts that can be moved.
Yeah. Which, this one goes, and that one, and this one.
It starts to become obvious once it's pointed out, but it had to be pointed out because of the wear and tear on this.
Maury, can you get this tall one over here?
This is on the floor. This is a trapdoor in the floor. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing about this tall.
Oh.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. If there's nothing that needs to be adjusted in things going up the wall, then sorry, we'll help.
Okay. I will ask one of you to make a sleight of hand check. I do not care who, but one of you needs to make it.
I have sleight of hand plus one at mine.
I have a plus 3 for sleight of hand.
You do it.
Okay. And she has 7.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
With a 7, there is a whoop sound.
Oh.
And I would like everyone that's here to make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, boy.
Wisdom. That's an ability check.
Find that.
Saving throw.
Where is that one? Oh, it's over here. Okay.
I need to make one for Mari.
Dirty 22?
I'm not sure what I did. Maybe I didn't. Let's see.
You have not made your wisdom one. If you're on the fancy, are you on the fancy or the old
one? They're on the old one.
The one, yeah.
Okay, give me half a moment. I will find your...
So, Utashi, if you're looking over at your attributes over on the far left, you got strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom going down the list. Click on the word wisdom.
Okay.
Then click saving throw. Wisdom.
Saving throw.
And then click normal.
Okay.
Okay.
Got a
13.
Okay.
13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it looks like Bapaki failed, Longkep failed, Sori, Mori passed, Utashi failed.
Oh, okay.
Bapaki, please roll a d20 for me.
Oh.
Okay. Now, this is on a table, and higher or lower doesn't... It doesn't necessarily mean good to roll high or low. It's a random table.
Mm-hmm.
But Paki, you feel like at first, two things are happening. One, the world is shrinking a bit. Like this tower got smaller around you. And your arms, as you reach out to steady yourself, you don't need to reach as far. Your arms got longer and hairier. Like that's fur. Your arms have, you have turned into a baboon.
Ook.
That, actually, you know what? I'm going to retcon this. You turned into an orangutan. That's funny. You feel the sudden urge to organize books. That's a reference. Next up, Longkep, roll me a d20.
I don't know why it rolled a Cavil, but...
Cavil turns into a deer. Strange. Everyone's very confused. No, Longkep turns into a deer. It'd be funny if you turned into a crocodile, but that's not on the list. So you turn into a deer.
Horses.
Next up is going to be Utashi.
Okay.
So just
do I roll something?
Yes. In right below the chat box, there's all those little icons of dice. The second from the right is the D20. If you mouse over, it even says D20 in the little pop-up. Click on that, then click roll.
Okay, click roll. Add a 3.
You turn into a bat.
I find this amusing.
Okay.
Flap it around.
And Mori and Sori are unaffected. You felt a little uneasy for a while. And now that that's passed, you still feel uneasy. But because your friends are all animals.
Problem.
Utashi, is that you?
I go flapping around more, but not too close.
Land on my hand if that's you.
I land on her hand.
Okay. Flap. Well,
Utashi,
that's a thing now.
Fur. Huh? Utashi, you're a mammal.
Meanwhile, Longcap is a deer just standing over there.
Longcap has decided to stand stock still and stare at everything.
Someone left the headlights on in the Shrike ship, and they're pointing right at Longcap. This is not canon.
Oh, no.
Canonically, I don't believe there are lights installed.
We'll have to fix that.
Longcap?
Longcap gingerly takes a step backwards.
Oh, dear.
Oh, oops. Sori goes over to back down the stairs carefully and I'll catch.
I'm going to assume that the orangutan at the top of the stairs is Bapaki.
Bapaki waves.
Sori is going to cast guidance on the deer for ability checks to help get down the.
I am more amused by this than I thought I would be. By the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Sorry.
Are you? Ah, there we go. Okay. So I'm going to put this deer right here. And I am going to do a thing. If I switch this to configure ownership, I can have EO own a deer. There we go. Now you can roll stats as a deer.
Excellent.
And Bapaki, I don't have stats for an orangutan, so I'm giving you a baboon.
Okay.
And we're just going to say it's the same thing.
Are my mental stats also changed?
I'm going to say no, because I can't be bothered with giving people a 3 intelligence. I want to be able to move the plot in a direction.
Not having an int of 2.
I do want to move the plot in a direction, and giving you all very low animal stats would in fact be a direction. However,
Longcap backs down the stairs. Or possibly turns around and carefully trots down the stairs.
With a nat 20, I should think so.
You could do a backflip if you wish to. Okay, I have changed the permissions for the baboons, so Ellie's got that. And for Utashi, you have the most adorable little bat icon. Oh my gosh, it's so tiny.
It's teeny.
Yes. I need to.
It's teeny.
Right click on that, configure ownership. And Jen is owner of the bat.
Yay. It's like moving around in there.
Yeah, because I was making it rotate. So if you double click on the icon, it'll open up the bat stats.
Okay. There it is. Okay, yes. Cool.
You are a tiny beast.
I'm a tiny beast.
Yes. It was a random beast table that I made.
Neat.
Yes.
So Tashi is still sitting on Mori's hand, right?
Yes.
Okay. So she's going to flap her wings a little bit, and she's going to say, "I'm free, I fly."
You say, "Squeak, squeak, squeak."
I know. I just thought it'd be funny because it's from something before.
Yes. Definitely. The DM gets the reference. The DM is amused. But also, while you are squeaking this, someone who you speak with animals will know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But what everyone else is hearing is squeak, squeak, squeak.
It's fine. She doesn't care. She's going to go flying around for a little bit.
I think we pushed the wrong button.
You think?
Papaki or Longcap stepped on the wrong step?
Longcap looks offended in lieu of being able to speak.
Ellie, I forgot about that scene. And because you have found this gif, I award you inspiration. Squeak, squeak, squeaker, squeaking.
So do we push the buttons to make it people turn back? Or, oh no, how far did this effect go? Is Monty okay?
Roll me a perception check, sorry.
Okay. Attributes. Perception.
Ooh. With a 23, which was a 19 plus 4. If Monty has been polymorphed, he has been polymorphed into something that snores at the same pitch. So probably not.
So it must not go outside the confines of the tower.
Or a sleeping Monty made a save.
Or sleeping Monty made a save.
Or Monty's immune to shape-changing magics, but... That'd be silly. Why would Monty be immune to shape-shaping magics?
Heaven knows that rogues are immune to shapeshift magic. I didn't think that's a rogue thing.
Is there
Papaki might have things to say about that besides Ook.
Outside the tower?
Is there what outside the tower?
Dirt.
Yes. Dirt and grasses and there's a few trees. Not many trees. This area looks like it gets hit by storms often.
Attempts to... start writing in the dirt with a hoof by digging.
Okay. What do you try to write?
I cannot cast like this. Oh.
Sorry, do you have any ability to dispel magic?
Let me see
I know two different ways for detecting it.
Let me just try to remember what I could try to command somebody to change back. I don't think that's going to work real well. Disguise self, no. Dispel magic is indeed a spell that Sori has prepared. Sori will attempt to dispel magic on Longcap. I presume I'm going to have to make an ability check using my spellcasting ability here.
Yes, I am looking up things. Okay, polymorph is a fourth level transmutation spell. So, the school of magic is irrelevant for this. So, the DC equals 10 plus the spell's level. So, you need to roll a 14 or higher. And this is going to be...
You can guidance yourself.
You can guidance yourself.
In that case, if I can guidance myself, I'm going to guidance myself.
And you're adding your spellcasting modifier.
Okay, first I have to turn off guidance 1. Cast it. Okay, I've done it. I think that means I'm doing it again. Am I automatically concentrating? Yes. Okay, so... All right, spellcasting modifier. That's going to be interesting to try to roll. Is that the DC there, or is that something?
No, DC is what other people have to roll if they need to make a saving throw against you.
Okay. Let me go to the other sheet so that we can see if it is visible. Initiative offense. Ability?
It's not an ability roll. It's...
Okay.
Your spellcasting modifier.
But I don't know what
if you're doing an attack with
a
spell.
It's a wisdom roll.
Oh.
But I believe it also adds your proficiency bonus.
No.
Hmm.
No, it does not.
Well, then I remembered it wrong.
Spellcasting ability, an attack, and spell DC, but you think I just roll a wisdom?
You just roll a wisdom.
Okay.
Well, your guiding bolt adds a +7. The +7 is your spellcasting modifier, is it not?
And that includes your proficiency bonus, but this spell and counter spell don't.
Well, okay. I will sit corrected, because as I've said before, if I stand corrected, I will sound like I'm very far away.
23?
23. Long kept. You are no longer a deer.
Thank you.
Bapaki is still an orangutan, and Utashi is still a bat.
Mm-hmm. And she's flying around the room.
Utashi, Bapaki, you have thumbs, Bapaki. Is it okay if you go last?
Ook.
Ook once for yes, twice for no.
Ook.
Okay.
There no, is also another possible option.
Oh?
Usually, if one is shapeshifted into something, if that something is knocked unconscious, then you return to your normal form.
I am not hitting Utashi. Mari is now clutching Utashi like a favorite pet.
I don't think Bapaki wants to get hit either.
No, Bapaki is gesturing to her head.
You want to get hit on the head? Does it have to be knocked unconscious by damage?
Generally.
So you rolled an 11 with chill touch as a baboon. Orangutan, but we're using baboon stats because reasons. Bapaki's AC is 12. However,
I am voluntarily failing my defense roll.
Yes. What I was getting to is exactly what Ellie is saying. That includes a dexterity bonus of +2. Utashi is deliberately standing still. So,
Bapaki.
Thank you.
Bapaki.
Why did I do that again? So they're both three syllable names, maybe, but
no, it could be that. Yeah.
I don't think that, whatever. Regardless, one, thank you for correcting me so that we do this right. Two, I'm pretty sure that somebody who wants to be hit is not dodging.
Unless you flinch, because it's obviously something horrible coming your way.
Roll your chill touch damage.
If you choose to be hit, you take max damage.
Okay. Where there once was a baboon, there is Bapaki.
Bapaki, do you need healing?
As far as I know, I'm unconscious.
Sorry, we'll check over Bapaki with, medicine.
How I've normally seen it done, and how I've normally done it in our games, is if you've been polymorphed and you take damage equal to the hit points of the thing you were polymorphed into, you just poof back into yourself, and this has usually been done in combat, and the person was not rendered unconscious.
Sori is still checking Bapaki over for damage and got a nat 20. So total 27.
Bapaki seems unharmed physically. Mentally, Bapaki might crave bananas for the next 3 weeks.
Utashi, you don't want to get hit, right?
How tightly is Mori holding me? It's hard to respond.
You might be struggling just a little bit to breathe. You can still squeak.
Yeah, I'm going to squeak really loud.
Don't squish her.
Oh my gosh.
Probably turn her back.
Yeah. When you squeak really loud, Mori instinctively grabs harder and does 1 point of squeezing damage to you. Mori is now hugging Utashi.
Oh.
Well, that worked.
That worked.
I think you squished her.
Mori drops Utashi.
Oh.
It was instinct. Like, you just killed Utashi.
Yeah.
Well, that was neat.
That was, So that's what happens if we don't open the door correctly.
I don't know.
Mori, why don't you stay outside the tower where it might be safer? and we can figure out about opening that door.
Oh, I'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Give me a sleight of hand check.
The nat 20 takes it.
With a nat 20, this is an ingeniously designed door. The way the mechanisms interlock, kudos to the designer, because these are new ideas you're encountering for the first time. Now, a lesser rogue would have considerable difficulty. You're not surprised that the others were not able to open this, even working together. But, oh yeah, you turn it this way, and then you have to turn it back before you turn that one over there. And, oh, here's where things went wrong. You have to turn this three times counterclockwise and then push it in, or you activate the trap. That's why you became a baboon. They didn't push it in, they pulled it out.
Easy mistake to make.
Yeah. Happens to the best of us. Well, except for you. It didn't happen to you because you are the best of them. And the door spirals open, not unlike the aperture of a camera, if the aperture of a camera wasn't a circle. Hmm. And there is a ladder going down.
Let's go see what it is.
Judging by the time.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think it might be worth showing you what's underneath.
Okay.
This is not the start of an elaborate 18-level dungeon. I will tell you that. It's only 17 levels.
That would keep us busy for a week of game time.
Oh, a week, you say?
At least.
Yeah. So you enter into a room that is roughly the same size and circumference as the tower. It's possible they dug a cylinder into the ground and then built up from there. There is a single door in the wall over there. This room is filled with a wide variety of shapes and sizes of boxes. The boxes are not cubes. There's angles on some of them. There's curves on others. Some of them appear to be grown. Like, the first word that comes to mind is alive. Not, oh, this was made out of something that was alive. It was harvested and then turned into this. No, this thing was grown here. And that doesn't always mean plant life.
Crystals can grow too.
There's some crystalline components because technology. What good is technology if it doesn't have at least one rock involved in it? I mean, we are having this conversation because we managed to teach sand how to think.
Uh-huh.
Poorly.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
Just so you don't expect more.
These machines all have various things connecting them, so one might be able to argue that's all one thing, although just looking at it, you don't immediately know what any of it does. And from several of these things, there extend upward various wires and pipes and conduits that go into the ceiling above, and you know where because you've seen them above the trapdoor already.
Hmm. Wonder what all this is for.
I don't know, but don't poke too much of it or we might wind up bats again.
Okay.
What was it? Huh? What was it like being a mammal?
It wasn't bad. I liked the flying part.
Hmm. Long kept?
Hooves are inconvenient.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
And I do not like being a prey creature.
Yeah.
Cut to an alternate universe where we see deer long cap alligatoring. Anyway, is there anything you want to do in this room?
Like to be an orangutan. Oh.
Warm and itchy.
Mm.
And stat-wise, you are actually less dexterous as an orangutan than as Bipaki the Rogue.
True.
That wouldn't be true for everyone.
Cough, cough, cough. Do you want to check the door over there?
Sure.
Totally different responses. It's great.
Okay. So.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear the other response.
Neither did
I. The other response was, I don't know.
Oh.
All right. So you open the door and you find a single smaller room that looks to have been carved into the rock. This might also be an aftermarket addition. It is much smaller than the big room you were just in. It's just large enough to have a bed, a table. There appears to be a small wood-burning stove. The pipe, it goes into the other room and goes up with the others. So at least the person probably didn't asphyxiate themselves. You could ask them. They're over there in the bed. They wouldn't answer unless you cast Speak with Dead, because they are definitely a corpse right now. The corpse is very decayed. There is also...
human or smaller?
Give me an investigation or insight or medicine check.
For who?
Anyone who wants to examine the corpse.
Okay. I have a check mark proficient. What does that mean?
It means that you're good at it.
Oh, I suppose I am, since I just rolled a 24.
I'm already blanking out on what I'm supposed to be doing. Sorry.
It's okay. We're going to go with the 24 that Sori rolled. So.
Okay. That's fine.
You cannot identify the species. It is possible that it also had some aftermarket changes. You think this just because three of your friends were recently not what they were born as. They still would have been bipedal with two arms, but definitely not symmetrical. And the features are, well, it's heavily decayed, but you rolled a 24. But the features are wrong. You've not seen anything that would have looked like what this being looked like in life.
Any tail?
There is no tail.
Well, at least it probably wasn't a kobold.
They're too large to be a kobold.
After all that shape changing, I mean, Godzilla kobold is out of question.
This is true.
Sori is a petite dragonborn. Someone might have turned into a giant kobold.
Now, in addition to the body that you found, I didn't finish explaining everything that's in the room.
Sori.
No, it's great, because you interrupted me to say what you're doing, and I'm here for that. Also, that means that's what grabbed your attention first, and you would not have noticed this other thing right away anyway. Bipaki is here, so therefore Dezah is not. Wherever Dezah is, Dezah is hit by an intense feeling of FOMO. Because there are several shelves attached to the wall over there that are filled with hand-bound books.
I don't know what this species this person was, but I'm not sure that they started out as whatever they were when they ended up.
Natasha is waiting to see if this person moves.
Oh no, they are long dead.
Well, she's this doesn't smart, stop so. People from moving sometimes.
True.
This is also true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Natasha's not very smart, so she's just going to wait and see.
Also, would it be the first time?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Regardless of not being... remember, you might not have the best intelligence score, but you are a cleric and you have a decent wisdom score. Your problem-solving abilities are pretty good.
Okay.
Yes. Even if you do get distracted by shinies frequently. That's not a mark on your intelligence.
That's just her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Kobold equivalent of Ritalin is prescribed. But there's a shortage.
Vivanace.
Oh my goodness.
Vivance. That's the one, right?
That's I took that for a while. I got the side effects. I did not get the benefits.
Boo. Boo.
But that was the one where they said, and if you miss a day or two, it's not like the end of the world. It doesn't affect you as badly if you miss a little bit. That's why I wanted that one, because I can't even remember to take a multivitamin every day.
Same.
And if you need to take a medication to keep track of remembering to take a medication.
Yeah.
See how that could spiral very badly. So, but in any case, That person's not moving. And Mari gives you the go ahead to let you know, like, yeah, they're not moving because they are a corpse. They are not undead. They are dead.
Okay.
She does perform something of a quick ritual over the body.
The equivalent of just like, because, well,
you go.
Sori is kind of pleased that Mori gets to that, because that is the thing that Mori does, and she would probably be concerned if we started raising the, yeah.
There is that. But no one has suggested that, so
right.
That's fine too. What's everyone else doing?
Itachi's going to look to see if there's anything on the table.
There's a few books on it.
Oh, okay.
I go over and pick one up. Don't know what language it is or if she can read it, but, you know.
It appears to be in the common language.
Oh, good. That's a lot better.
But it appears to be, your thoughts are very scientific. So, like, I know what all these words mean. Not in this order, but I know what these words mean.
Uh-huh.
And then,
like
connect,
the book upside down
and then you connect the Whoosits to the whatchamacallit, and then those fools of the academy will... No, there's nothing about fools of the academy who kicked you out for making a lab explode. That's a different game.
Yeah.
Okay. Which will not go live until well after this one does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, looking through the books, and Mori joins you and anyone else who cares to...
Good.
The books all appear to be a collection of journals written by somebody, probably the person in the bed over there. The handwriting gets more frantic and not always on a straight line as you get to the books that were written later. Like, they were having difficulty focusing, or perhaps they were not having the same skill with hand-eye coordination, considering their fingers were not the same length as they used to be. But apparently, they were very interested in the space beyond the stars and wanted to reach out to see what was beyond that. They never managed to do it. They don't at any point say they succeeded. They do at some point, if you flip through the later ones, have some language in there that refers to everything being completed. But... none of the apparatus at the top of the tower seemed to be receiving anything. At nowhere do they talk about the destruction of the tower that you can see.
Maybe it had destruction before you got here. Or she, or I don't know.
They don't say anything to specify what gender they might have been.
Okay. Person.
Parts where they sign things, they refer to themselves as the searcher.
That's traumatic.
Or it could have been the seeker.
I wonder if
the... something like that.
Could have been what?
Could have been the seeker. Seeker or searcher.
Okay.
Wait, this page says seeker. That page says... they changed it partway through. Well, that's it. They ruined the continuity.
I wonder if the top of the tower got turned into physics.
If they were trying to reach past this world, they wouldn't have been able to. That's primarily what all the stuff in Hightower was set up to prevent.
By turning the top of the tower into physics, if it got an actual...
No. High Temple.
Out?
High Temple.
Yeah.
That beam of light that was sent up, that was creating like a psychic shield around the planet. So no gods from other worlds would be able to come in. This world was mostly destroyed every time gods had a battle. The Five didn't want that to happen again. So we made sure no competition would come in, and then we blew it up. Is there anything in any of these books that says they turned it off?
Itachi goes flipping through pages.
I mean, the tower is partly gone. Wouldn't that mean it's not working?
Is there anything that says they turned it off?
You believe that the destruction of the beam of light caused the destruction of the top of this tower?
I don't think the top of the tower was destroyed. What happens if you're trying to say something and someone says they can't hear you?
You say it louder?
They weren't getting an answer back. So they turned up whatever that stuff does. They didn't just send a message somewhere else. They sent the top of the tower somewhere else. Only it didn't go because High Temple existed. It was soundproofing.
So the tower's somewhere else now.
And it probably was here until High Temple wasn't.
Mm.
Which means there might be a beacon halfway into another plane of reality saying, hi, we're here.
If we all step out of the tower, I can try to dispel it, says Sori, sort of doing the cracking knuckle body language and looking for a dragonborn somewhat desperately optimistic.
Bapaki, you rolled a dirty 20 for an investigation skill. Did you already get the answer to what you were going to be asking about?
I was just trying to answer Maury's question.
Mm.
Did it get turned off?
Does it say anywhere in the books that it got turned off?
No. It says,
I will relay that.
It says in multiple passages that they're certain everything is working properly. Everything is built right. It is done. It is finished. But they haven't heard anything back. Matter of fact, there's one book where that's pretty much all it says. That and some complaints about changes to their morphology.
Okay.
We take all the books and get on the ship and lift the ship up a little bit and somebody tie a rope to me and I'll lean out and I'm going to try and dispel the tower.
We can certainly try that. But that's where we're going to end it for tonight. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for playing. Tonight I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. Who would like to plug a thing?
Io's mom writes books, ElizabethMcCoy.com. They're ebooks. Ask your local library to... And speaking of cool books...
My website is bookofjen.net. I am intending to put more book reviews up as soon as I have some energy to do it. Other than that, I'm the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which I also need to put together later today. And those episodes generally come out on Saturdays, sometimes Sundays, and it's about the Diablo series of games.
And speaking of websites, you can find all of our podcasts at aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel. There's one RSS feed to rule them all, or you can subscribe to any of our campaigns individually, or even subscribe to a past campaign and download all of the episodes for that campaign all at once and listen to it from beginning to end. You can also follow us on the Fediverse. is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel is where you go to find how to subscribe to us there. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. You can help us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshen, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying...
That was a wonderful nap. I dreamed I was a giant fire beetle.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.